In our remaining time together tonight, I wanted to draw your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We've had an ongoing series now for the past month or so relative to failing of the grace of God. You know, you and I will never exhaust the grace of God. We'll never reach the ceiling of His grace. We'll never dig deeper than His grace can go. You'll never reach the expanse of His grace in this world. His grace is so wonderful and so powerful that you and I can never exhaust it. And yes, it's one of the least, now listen to me on this one, it's one of the least used attributes of God, I'm afraid, today in the church, because we have so substituted other things in for God's grace. We've substituted our own abilities. We've substituted the government in place of God. We're seeing this happening all across America. Well, we'll just look to the government. If we have a financial problem, we'll just go to the government and do that. Well, whatever happened to going to God, seeking His face, crying out to Him, Lord, show us what to do. And God, in a remarkable way, always seems to provide. His grace is always sufficient. It never says that His grace will be too much that you can't handle. Right? God doesn't overwhelm us and drown us with His grace. He wants you to seek His face for it. That's how He works. He wants you to seek His face. Do you want His grace? It's there. It's available. But you got to want it. You got to desire it. You want to have that. We've heard so many times stories through the year of individuals that didn't have something. And then later on, they found out that somebody was wanting to give, but they just never got asked. You know, sometimes you have to ask. Sometimes you have to put the word out and say, this is a need that we have. And if you can meet that need, provide. We get requests all the time. Whenever we had Dr. Alfred Asante here with us back in the early part of last year from Ghana, West Africa, actually in the fall of last year, I was talking to Brother Freeberg just yesterday. We have another missionary from Liberia who will be with us in the month of April, I believe it is. And he was sharing with us what a blessing our little church here was to Dr. Asante. And I said, well, I'm so thankful that we could be a blessing. He said, they came with a burden. They needed a multimedia projector. And they said, all they did was mention it. We had purchased two during the summertime because we needed them in the classroom. And I felt burdened when I found out about them to give them the one that I had in my classroom. That, you know, just go ahead and give it to them. Let them take that and let it be used of God and Ghana, and God would provide us one. Within a few days, we had three donated. We had three donated. You don't see how good God is? We gave away one and we got three. That's grace. That's grace. You will never, ever come close to exhausting God's grace, but you can starve to death from not using it. You will dry up and you'll be wither up like a prune as a Christian when you don't call upon the grace of God. That's what he says here in this passage. We then, as workers together with him, synergies is the Greek word. We get our word synergy from it, which means to work together. In other words, the two come together and are able to accomplish things that the one by themselves could not accomplish. Can God accomplish anything? He absolutely can. But he chooses to partner with us. Isn't that wonderful? That's a message of grace in itself. Why should God deign to use a frail nothing of an individual? Why would he choose to do that? I don't know. All I can say, it's of grace. It's of grace. And you and I can accomplish great things, but you can fail of the grace of God. As it says here, I beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. To receive something in vain means it doesn't accomplish its purpose because you're not using it. You know, we get a lot of things for Christmas. I usually put out things that I need. You know, my children are asked or something like that. Well, I need a tie or I need a shirt or I could use some socks or I need a new belt this year or something like that. You know, I put those things out. And I've gotten some really nice gifts that I use on a regular basis. I got a Kindle a year or so ago, and buddy, I enjoy that. I read all the time, and I do my Bible reading in there because I can use the resources of word studies and things of that nature. And I read, but I've gotten some flunky keeper gifts over the years too. Okay, and I'm not going to say because some of you may have given them to me. I don't know, but you all know what I'm talking about, right? You get this gift, and you said, "Lord, have mercy. What am I going to do with that?" You know, it'll be just something, and you know it was re-gifted. You know that they got it, and they didn't know what to do with it. And so we have a running joke in our family up in Greenville. I don't know how many years ago, I think it was given to you, was it not, Chris? The Otto hammer. Anybody remember the Otto hammer that came out about 20 years ago? You put nails, you load the nails in it, and the nails slide up, and you flip the handle of the hammer, and the nail comes over the hammer, slides down, and you go poof with it. Now, the nails are the cheapest things. It's a joke of a hammer. We have been re-gifting that hammer for 20 years. Sometimes somebody will keep it for a couple of years and pop it out. This year, Brent got it. Okay, and it's been around to Wayne, Chris. I think I had it for a year. We've re-gifted it and given it back out the auto hammer. We're just waiting for it to pop up again. It's the most useless gift. It was the biggest waste of metal and plastic that anybody ever drew up. Oh, they thought it was probably a great idea, but it won't nail anything. You can't even get the nail halfway into the wood before it's curled over, bent, and you got to pull it out. And then you have to sit there and figure out how to shake that thing where the nails will work its way up and come out onto the front of the hammer so you can go thump. Then you have to wiggle the head off, and then you can pound it in. It's worthless, okay? Now, it looks like a hammer. It has a handle like a hammer. It has a head like a hammer. But it's not really a hammer. It's a piece of useless junk. So we've kept it in the box over the years and passed it around with the family, having a little bit of fun with it. You know, who's going to get the auto hammer next year? We're waiting for the kids to grow up because they're going to get it one of these days. Michael, you be ready. You're going to get the auto hammer one of these days. But, you know, it's useless. It's not of anything of any value. And that's what can happen with grace if you waste it. Be like the Israelites with the manna. I think I'll try to store up some and use it later. No, no, it'll be used improperly then. God wants you to call upon His grace on a daily basis. And His grace is so marvelous and so wonderful. It will overwhelm your Christian life and make you what you ought to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you don't call upon the grace of God, and you try to live your life by your own savvy, God help you. The first thing that you'll start to see is you'll start getting crossways with good people. I've watched this over the years. I've seen this develop, where you'll have people get crossways with good people, and you look and you say, why is this individual having a problem with this individual? What is it over? And it'll be over basically nothing. But because they're not right spiritually, walking in grace and being overwhelmed with God's grace, they don't know how to act around other people. It'll happen. You'll get crossways with your mate. You'll get crossways with your church. You'll get crossways. It'll ooze out of you. Why? Because grace isn't there. Grace procure certain things for the Christian life that make you effective and useful and a joy to be around. We've looked at some of these. I draw your attention back to verse 6 and 7 tonight because we find here several things that are listed, 8 of them specifically, that grace procures for the believer. And by the way, I want you to note this. The King James in verses 6 through the middle of verse 7 uses the preposition by. But the Greek word hen, E-N, transliterated into English, is the same thing that's translated in verse 5. In stripes and imprisonments, in verse 4, in afflictions. En, it's the same word. But for some reason they changed it to by, and it really has the idea of that which is in grace. That which is in. Have you ever gone into a store and you didn't know what was really in there and you said, oh, wow. You ever been inside the Copper Possum? You like walking back in time? Boy, I like to go in there just to see all the old neat things. The things that used to be, right? I had to laugh. I believe it was yesterday. Mr. Ken Erickson came in, and he has a milk bottle from the Baldwin Milk Company from Baldwin County. Dates back sometime to the 1930s or 40s. It was a milk jar. And it was not a full gallon. It was a quart jar, and they would put the paper tops on it. And it has the neck on it where they would fill it up to the first line. And then it had a rounded section. That's where the cream rose to the top. And it would fill it up there. And he has it full, half full of marbles. He keeps it back in the room, and he's calling it Mrs. Schmidt's jar. And says she's shy of a few marbles. That was the joke they got going between the two of them. I don't think they listen to our services back here. I think they're having way too much fun back there. But he was showing me this jar, and I said, that is such a neat jar. You don't see those anymore. That's from a bygone era where the milkman would come and set it up on the porch. And I've heard stories of those that had it up north when the cream would freeze and push the little paper top off the top of it, and it would snake up there, and they used to love to take that and put it in their coffee or use it for some other purpose. And, you know, when you go into the Copper Possum, it's like walking back in time. And you see some of the old antiques and things of that nature. It's into a different... And you see what's really in the Greek word, in it. And so what Paul is doing here is he's walking us into grace, and we come into the first room, and we see the things that we need grace for. We've already talked about those 10 things. And then it takes us to another room and says, this is what grace procures for you as a Christian. These are the things that you benefit from, grace. And so we're inside, if you want to put it, the dome of grace, and we're just kind of barely searching and scratching the surface here in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 6 through 7, of what grace procures for you and I as believers. We've already looked at the first few things. First of all was pureness. You know what? People that lack purity, I know this, they lack grace. When you see people that live lives of wickedness, impurity, the church today has gotten so shallow. And we put the label Christian on anything that walks in the door. Oh, you came to church, you must be a Christian. That's the assumption today. And we've got people in our churches today that are so far from the grace of God. They don't know what it means to be a Christian. They don't have any understanding of living godly. We've brought the world's music. I tell you, I'm just appalled at the music that's going in our churches today. It's just nothing but rock. And they put some Christian words to it. And we're calling that worship. That's what we're offering God. We're saying, God, this is the best we can do for you. And I know our Lord is so overwhelmed by the worldliness that's coming out of our speaker systems today. There's a lack of purity, but grace brings purity. That's what it brings into our life. It's that idea of chastity and holiness. Yes, old-fashioned holiness. Right living. Right attitudes. Right dress. Purity. Keeping pure in a wicked world. That's what grace brings in. We looked at that. We looked at knowledge. Oh, I'm so thankful for this. God has given us His holy word. Isn't this such a stabilizing book in an unstable world? This world is so unstable. We are watching America fall apart into little bitty pieces. We're watching our Constitution be obliterated. We are watching the effects. The doctor today was just bemoaning Obamacare, telling all the restrictions and stuff. He said, I'm thinking about leaving the practice, moving to Colorado. And just helping out with a church or doing something like that. Said, because it's just unbelievable what's happening. Said, our liberty's being taken away from us. Okay? By the way, votes have consequences, don't they? You can vote for cool, but you'll get something else later. And that's what's happened to us today. We were voting for people not because of character or principle, because they look cool or act cool or they're attractive or this, that, or the other. That sounds just like Israel. We want Saul. But what redeeming qualities did he have that suited him for being king? Well, he was tall. Well, we all know that's top of the list. I wish I were tall. You know? But your size has nothing to do with character and integrity. But that's where we come. Listen, we have the knowledge of the Word of God. That's a gift of grace. We looked at macrothumia. That word is translated long-suffering. Really, we could translate it steadfastness. Steadfastness. Long-suffering. The ability to endure injuries and evil deeds within the redeemed community without being provoked to anger or vengeance. Can you get along with other fellow believers and not be so touchy? That's what this word means, long-suffering. You know, somebody's going to say something that may not sound right, may not come out right. Can you accept it with grace and move on, or does it stick in your craw? I'm not talking to them till they apologize to me. They said something and it came out like they hate me and despise me, so I'm going to walk around and I'm going to twist my face up whenever they come by and go home and practice in the mirror whenever they walk by. Do you realize that the closest friends you ought to have in this world are right here at Grace Bible Church? This is my family. This is my family. I love to come to church to be with my family. And I don't understand people that don't love to come and be with God's people. I don't understand that. They love to be other places. They don't want to be around. Oh, they're judgmental. Come up with all kinds of excuses. Let me tell you something. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a connection. And if you say something wrong to me, I want you to know that I'm not going to hold it against you. And, you know, people will say something, and you say, I wonder if they thought that one through. I don't know if that one came out right. But you know what? Grace has to step in. But a lot of times the flesh does. And we think the most awful and worst of those people. God help you. You need to quit lighting your fuse up so quick. That's what this word basically means. Macrothumia. Before you go into a heated explosion, lengthen your fuse a little bit. Be a little gracious. Isn't that what you want from God? Aren't you glad that He went the extra mile with you? Oh, we're stinkers, are we not? We fail Him so. We don't live like we ought to. We don't witness like we ought to. We don't act like we ought to so many times. But God is gracious. You're still here. Amen? You're still here. God's good. He takes care of you. He provides. It doesn't mean life's going to be easy, but it means that you have His grace to lubricate the rough times. Smooth things out with people. If you're a person that's easily offended, you are not spiritual. Okay? Had to deal with a few of them over the years. Assume the worst. Think the most awful. I've had to let some go on staff over the years over that. They just couldn't get along. Everybody was out against them, and it wasn't true. The problem was with them. They wanted everybody to be against them. They wanted the whole world to be against them. Listen, if you walk around with your feelers, Dr. Hobbs used to talk about this, like a roach with your feelers stuck out. Guess what's going to happen? They're going to get stepped on. Surprise, surprise. Listen, you know what grace does? Grace cuts the feelers off. Grace cuts the feelers off and says, you know what? I'm thankful they know the Lord Jesus. I'm going to pray for them a little bit more and let grace take over. Can we do that? Yes, we can. A lot of the problems that are caused in churches, and there are lots of them, but a lot of them are caused by graceless people. Graceless people. Hopefully we'll be able to continue this at another time, and I hope that you'll take the grace of God on a daily basis, hourly basis, a minute-by-minute basis. Sometimes we dry out during the day. Okay? We dry out. It's not that we have less of the Holy Spirit. Okay? He didn't leak out, and I got to plug the holes. What's the problem? The problem is not the enormity of God's grace has shriveled up and gone away. What's the problem? Me. My attitude. My walk with the Lord. And so I have to ask the Lord, I need to get back in line so I can be showered with your grace again. You want to be walking in His grace every day. It'll help your relationships with other people. It'll help you with your relationship in your family. It'll help you in your relationship at school. It'll help you in all of your relationships of life, because now the grace is flowing from the Heavenly Father onto you and through you to others. That's how the work of God is lubricated here upon this earth. And so we're gonna finish out this list, and we've got a whole other list coming up that grace takes us. Another room that we're going to explore. Paul only takes us basically to three different rooms in grace. There are much more to grace. And I hope that we can expand our understanding, and that in this new year especially, that we will avail ourselves of the grace of God. I don't want anybody in here to get bitter as we advance toward the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some people that are so bitter. You say the word government, and they're already whipping out their gun. Where are they? You know, you said government? I mean, you can get mean, Christian, if you don't watch it. Can grace be enough to help you get through the times that we're going to be headed to? Absolutely. It's helped people go through them before. Amen? Yeah. We got some tough times coming up. Only the grace of God can help us through it. If you're not developing the use of the grace of God now, it's going to be hard later on, because you're going to be looking for other resources. Develop it now. It'll help you with your prayer time. It'll make you more sensitive to God's leading in your heart and life. It'll sweeten you up as we appropriate the grace of God in our heart's life. Now, don't misunderstand me now. Grace does not make you tolerant towards sin. Grace helps you to be tolerant toward God and His Word and His will. And you'll be intolerant toward the things that God's intolerant toward. What are you becoming more like? You're more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what grace is supplied to. So don't misunderstand me. It's not going to make you into this wonderful creature that walks around and has a big smile that's pinned back from one ear to the other with a fakey smile, and you just go through life like a little sunbeam. No. What it does is it makes you a real Christian. A real Christian. Someone who loves what God loves and hates what God hates, but is able to be around God's people and be long-suffering toward them. We'll pick this up, Lord willing, next time. Father, we thank You for the opportunity we've had to meet for prayer tonight. Oh, Lord, we have so many needy folks that we're praying for. We ask, dear Father, that You might undertake for them. Pray that Your grace would be manifested in a very powerful way. And Father, we pray that as we interact in this world and as we interact with each other, that we might have that measure of grace that helps us to be a blessing and a help to others. Lord, I pray that we might understand the wonder and the glory of Your grace, and that we might appropriate it and we might use it every day for Your honor and glory. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you.